Hello, everyone. Good to see you. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. Here we are. This is great. So this is a Thursday, April 20th, 2023, and this is Dr. Will Tuttle. We are now starting our third Thursday World Peace Diet Circle call. Welcome, everyone. It's good to see your beautiful faces and your names. Some of you, you don't have to show your face if you'd rather just listen or be present by telephone. Some of you are on phone, and a lot of you I know will listen to this later. So great. Good to see you. And Madeline and I have successfully found our way home back like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. We made it home. And we're really glad to be here. And I'm back in front of my good old Yuma, the Yamaha piano. So we'll go ahead and get started. And what we usually do is have, as you know, a short meditation at the beginning. And then we can talk about whatever you folks would like to talk about. And a few people have told me they're not going to be able to make it today. So that's okay. They're going to listen later, they said. But we have no special guests. It's just us this time. So if any of you have questions or comments or concerns, we can definitely address those. And in the meantime, I'm going to be just letting a few more people in here. So let me see what else. Yeah, it's been great. I mean, I'll talk a little bit when we after the meditation about our Benevolent Revolution tour, which lasted 4.5 months, and we lived in our little micro van, which is, as you know, it's really small, but luckily I'm married to a wonderful person. I don't mind being close to her, so it works great. All right, so we will go ahead and start with our meditation, I think. Why not? Let's start with our meditation and get comfortable wherever you are. Sometimes people like to turn off the camera. The sound should be off anyway. It's better, I think, when we are doing these things, unless you want to speak. And you can always speak by pressing star 6 or by just raising your hand or speaking up. Okay, so let's go ahead and start our meditation. It's great to just take a little time for that. Feel free to use the chat if you'd like to send me a message or anything, or anybody else. We have that opened up. So let's begin our time of meditation together. With our breathing, with every exhalation, letting go, letting go into this present moment, allowing ourselves to come home into our heart. Our true nature, into our right mind, where we are always poised and at peace and in harmony, whatever is happening in the outer world. Abide always in our true home, abiding in loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace, and gratitude, and freedom, and abundance. Truth. we give thanks for all of our friends, our colleagues. Allow ourselves to take a few moments now to give thanks for all of our loved ones, everyone that we are connected to in this lifetime, whether they are still here with us on this earth or not. Whether we've even met them. Some of our great friends, perhaps, are authors or musicians, composers, artists. Religious leaders, saints and sages. We give thanks for the great wisdom that has been pouring forth from all of these beings, the love and inspiration. We give thanks for this beautiful earth and every aspect of the natural world. As we take a moment now and give thanks for the beauty of the earth, we allow ourselves to open to the beauty of the forests, the beauty of the oceans, the beauty of the rivers and streams and lakes, the beauty of the prairies and grasslands, the beauty of the deserts, the beauty of the jungles, the beauty of the Arctic regions, the beauty of all the islands. Beauty of the infinite interconnected webs of being and all of the living beings inhabiting this earth. We give thanks especially now for all of the animals. Brighten our days and who exemplify the ability to live in the moment in harmony with their environment, with their purpose, their straightforwardness and honesty, their lack of guile, devotion and loyalty to each other and to their relationships as part of the unfolding of the magnificent creation here on this earth. And we connect especially as we gather 2 days for Earth Day. To celebrate the sacred majesty of this earth, this creation, absolute awe-inspiring complexity and beauty. All the beauty here. Fragility, and we now especially connect with humanity, all the many pathways and stories, the yearnings and ambitions. And help awaken our brothers and sisters to the truth of the infinite interconnectedness of all life. We give thanks. Part that we can play with our unique gifts and abilities. We give thanks for the mission that we have in this lifetime. To remember why we are here, even when we are being encouraged always to forget, we remember and we smile. We are always smiling inside because we have the gift of awareness, the possibility of helping others, shining the light of our loving kindness and awareness into the infinite web of relations to contribute our note to the great song that is so critical at this time, the song of liberation. Liberation of all living beings, the song of joy and freedom, the song of truth, the song of healing. Abundant giving. This is the season of spring blooming, the awakening of new life, the awakening of the spirit, the awakening of the great breath. shining beacon. And we now allow this beacon of our heart and mind to radiate all directions. Benevolence and goodwill and loving kindness into every cell of our being, into every dimension of our life, and then beyond to every living being. Like the sun, we exclude no being. We send our blessings and our love in ever-expanding spheres of light. May all beings be happy and have all of the causes of happiness, freedom, joy, fulfillment, awakening from the delusion of separateness to the truth of one life living through all of us. And now we allow the beacon of our heart rotating, shining compassion in every direction, radiating empathy. Forgiveness, a yearning to help others, be a healer. May all beings be free of suffering and all the causes of suffering. May all beings be free of ignorance. Be free of the conflicting emotions that cause suffering. And now we allow the beacon of our heart to radiate in all directions, the light of joy. Great joy of being, allowing this song of joy that sings in every cell of our being, that sings at the very core of what we are, that sings in our heart and our mind, the joy that needs no reasons in the outer world at all, the joy of understanding that what we are was never born, will never die, and what we are is a manifestation of the infinite creative power of love. We allow this joy to flow forth from the beacon of our heart in all directions. May all beings abide in joy, in the joy of being. we begin to move into the world of human activity, we allow the beacon of our heart to radiate peace. Being, knowing that every system, every aspect of our inner life, all of our outer affairs in the world are harmonized. That there is a great wisdom guiding us always, our inner light of wisdom. Always closer to the understanding of our true nature. Understanding that nothing in this world has the power. No clouds can ever harm the sky. Abiding in the peace of the infinite sky of our true nature, allowing the light in our heart to flow forth direction. May all beings be at peace. We give thanks knowing that right now the earth is bathed in the light of infinite and eternal peace. But that is the truth, whatever the outer appearances may be. When we understand thank you. Okay. Thanks everyone for joining with our meditation time. So we have a good hour here. We like to end by about, in an hour, basically. So 6:30 our time here in California. So if any of you have any special questions, comments, concerns, prayers that need answering or whatever that has to do with our focus, which is liberation of animals and really of all living beings, all of us, because we're all interconnected, then feel free to press *6 and ask your question or just raise your hand. Otherwise, I have things I'd like to share too. And so I'll just kind of jump into that and then we can see where it goes. So yeah, Madeline and I have been back here now for 1 week and, it's great. I have to say it's great to, there was a lot to do. We came back and it had been 4.5 months of rain and snow. It broke, I think at least probably 40 branches on our trees around here. So it was a lot of tree trimming and carrying. We have a gigantic pile of limbs out by the road. Where we live in Hidden Valley Lake, they'll come around and pick them up and chip them. And then so now we have this gigantic pile of limbs. And then right next to it, we have a gigantic pile of chips. They just delivered a couple of days ago. I requested some chips because everybody in our area is doing the same thing. It's something we all chip in on. We chip in and we get our chips. So every year we put down a layer of wood chips on our food forest, and it now after 10 years we have this thick, rich soil, which is fantastic. It's just really the decomposition of all these wood chips. So the snowstorm, which is very unusual, we never get that here. So much snow that lasted so long. I mean, it lasted so long, like 4 days. That's like amazing. Never usually lasts about 4 hours at the most. It was, I think, a blessing in disguise in a lot of ways. When we came over the Donner Pass from Reno, there was about 5 feet of snow up there. So there's a huge amount of snow just by on the roads. I mean, it's going to be really bringing a lot of water, much needed water, to Northern California. So we're really happy about that. And we heard yesterday we gave a talk, a day before yesterday on Tuesday, at Harbin Hot Springs, which is a local resort here, and we give a lecture there once a month promoting vegan living. And this woman was there from Utah. She said they've gotten over 800 inches of snow in Utah. I can't even imagine. 800 inches? I mean, that's like amazing. They're covering up whole houses. So it's been a time of, extreme weather, I guess you could say. But it's good. We really needed the rain. So all in all, our journey was wonderful. We, you guys have been with us, so I don't have to go into it, but the last couple of weeks coming across, we gave lectures in New Mexico and Arizona and Sedona, went really well, and in Las Vegas and Reno and Albuquerque. And we've been going to more Unity churches again, which we didn't do that for the last couple of years. We used to do that a lot, but the churches closed down. So now we're going to Unity churches and giving the talks on Sunday morning and doing workshops on developing intuition. So that's, and then we're doing the World Peace Diet stuff too. So we were able to bring in the vegan message at the Unity churches, and then of course at the regular events. And we had a really big, a big turnout in Sedona. They rented a theater and they pretty much filled it up. So there was about, between 80, probably 80 to 90 people there, which is a lot post-COVID. And the other events also, for the most part, all went very well. So we did about 80 lectures, events, workshops, concerts and things in the whole time. There were four legs going out, two legs within Florida and one more, about 20 events in each of the legs of our journey. So it kind of just worked out that way. But it was really very inspiring. It was good to see so many local activists doing good work to help liberate animals. You know, we gave lectures at farm sanctuaries, several different places, and a lot just sponsored by local vegan groups that are doing educational outreach. And so they need help. They need, COVID is kind of crushed a lot of the local grassroots groups, and they've been sort of used to not meeting at all or meeting on Zoom. A lot of veg fests kind of folded, so they're starting to come back. So it's good. I think it's good to see people getting out and meeting each other. And, you know, Madeline and I love to do things where we actually see people physically and not only interact through Zoom. This is great in a lot of ways, but to actually see people and talk to them and so forth, I think it adds a lot needed power, empowerment, and connectivity to our movement. So those are some of the basic news, I would say. And there were some places where we only talked about veganism. Some of the places they really wanted us to bring in veganism and health freedom, to bring those together, the domination of animals and of humans that's going on right now. And so we did. And some of the places we got into that more intensely. We're always happy to answer anyone's questions, but usually we just focus primarily on liberating animals, because that's the most important thing. I think ultimately we need to liberate animals, but if we don't have any freedom, if we don't have freedom of speech and of travel and of the press and of religion and all that, we can't do anything to help the animals. If we're enslaved, which is still the agenda, it's still happening on a massive scale, I feel. So we're working on that. And then any spare 10 minutes I had, I was working on the new book, which, you know, this is really the first new book since the World Peace Diary. We have some more books in between, but they're not big, like major effort type books. They were books that I edited, or they were smaller books or whatever. They didn't take so long. I'm working on this for 2 years now. And it's almost done, so I'm looking forward to sharing that with everybody at some point. Maybe in June, we're kind of hoping. And it's called Food for Freedom. And it's bringing together, really, a lot of the stuff we've been talking about. The liberation of animals is the foundation for a positive future for humanity. And trying to get people who are vegans to understand the importance of that, and try to get people who are really interested in human freedom and they're still eating animals. Like, come on, you know, you want to be free, but you're just paying to enslave and abuse other living beings, which is a complete it's not going to work. It's not going to go anywhere. It's just going to create more of the problems that we're having. So I think any effort anyone makes in those directions is great. But the most important thing, really, I think, underlying everything is the spiritual understanding of our situation, and not allowing ourselves to have our vibration be crushed or lowered because of fear and competition and, you know, judgment and blaming and criticizing and fighting and censoring and, you know, all these different things. That's really what's happening a lot right now. And so I think what's happening, I'll just say a couple more things maybe and then open it up. And if you have any comments or questions, feel free to just chime right in. The whole, I think it's pretty obvious now, the whole COVID thing, the purpose of COVID was to vaccinate people. I mean, I think we see that pretty clearly now. And that was the reason for it, was to get people vaccinated. And so the FDA just came out and said that everybody has to get, you know, two shots, and then you got to get boosters and do all this and all these many, many vaccines. And now they've given up on all that. They've said it's not effective, you don't need to, and it's just forget about the whole thing. And so I think, wow, I mean, it's really they've come right out and said it doesn't in any way stop transmission. It doesn't reduce your risk of getting it. It doesn't really do anything. So people who are unvaccinated, you can get one shot if you want, but it's not necessary. So the purpose was to try to get people, I think, to get the shot. And unfortunately, the shot is having a lot of negative effects on people. It seems, not everybody, but on quite a few people. And so some of them change the DNA. And that's something we've been doing to animals for a long time, and I've been warning for a long time that we shouldn't do to animals what we don't want to have done to ourselves. And that's happening. So please just be aware of all of that and hope that somehow we can find ways to get over this and not allow them to ever do this again. I think that's the most important thing. Like, we should really learn our lesson. Remember Peter Townsend of The Who? He said, "We won't get fooled again." You know, it's kind of like Charlie Brown in the football. You know, Lucy keeps putting it there, and he keeps falling for it every time. So hopefully we won't fall for it, you know, every time. So I think, it's time for us to get more savvy, to be less gullible, to understand that the pharmaceutical industry does not have our best interests at heart at all. They make their money. They don't make any money from healthy people. They only make money from sick people. We really have to understand that clearly. And Pfizer, I just read today, they just broke an all-time record of all pharmaceutical companies. They broke the $200 billion in 1 year mark. They made so much money. They just rolling in money. And you know, they use that money. What they use that for? They use that to completely control the media, completely control the education of doctors, completely control everything. I mean, you have that kind of money because their products don't cost anything hardly. I mean, they're very cheap. So that's their profits are used, or you know, they use it for that, to control the narrative. So we have to be savvy and not believe, like I learned as a kid growing up, don't trust the media because it's really controlled by advertisers, and now it's controlled by the U.S. government, by the CIA and the deep state also. So we're not in what we think. We're not in this situation where we can just trust what governmental officials say or agencies say or elected representatives say or any of the non-NGOs, the non-governmental organizations, the philanthropic organizations, the Gates Foundation, or the Wellcome Trust, or all of these groups that we think that they're, or scientists. I mean, what scientists say is that's completely bought and paid for. So anyway, so we've seen that with animal agriculture for years. Hopefully as vegans, we were aware of that. But it looks like a lot of us were not aware of that, and we're still perhaps resistant to being aware of that. But it doesn't help. It doesn't help to refuse to hear things. It doesn't help to refuse to understand things. And in the big picture, you know, what happened to cows and pigs and chickens? They've been turned into livestock, and it's not good for them. And I don't want to see the same thing happen to human beings. So, pardon me?
I said I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
So, hi, it's Joy Grace Harmony. So,
yes,
and I'm sorry I missed you guys in Nevada and Arizona, but I'm in Arizona now, waving at you from here. And I'm just wondering how many other people on this call or Zoom. I know that recently, especially, I've had a lot of people I'm scheduled to meet with or whatever, and then they're canceling because they've had a sudden death in the family of this, someone that's just dying all the time. And or some of the people that I know are getting cancer, and then my friend says I think it could be generational, so she's like 75. And she got double vaxxed and boosted and all this stuff, and she had original cancer that's gone, but now they're telling her, oh, well, but wait, there's an additional cancer that will probably come up, and they've already planted that seed in her mind. So I'm noticing that there's a lot of that, and then the person I'm here with had blood clot in their leg, and they're having a hard time. Put him on the Healy and trying to get him to detox. But I'm just wondering how many other people are also noticing friends and family members or whatever that are having these issues, or am I alone?
Right. Well, anybody can answer that if they like. We've had some friends and that have died kind of without, we don't know why exactly. And I think it's sort of one of those things. You're not allowed to ask the question were they vaccinated or not. You know, you shouldn't ask the question. It's considered to be insensitive. And but I think, I was just reading an article today by a new so-called scientific report. But the basic idea is that if when you start interfering with the DNA, and there's several things in that do that in the vaccines. The mRNA actually doesn't just stop with the RNA, it actually changes the DNA in cells throughout the body and even in the reproductive organs, so it's passed on to future generations, unfortunately. But that one of the main things it does is it makes it difficult for the body to fight cancer, because it kind of scrambles the genetic code, changes it. And that gives the pharmaceutical industry what's called plausible deniability, because usually they can say, well, cancer, that's got nothing to do with us. I mean, and we hear over and over again that the doctors are, quote, baffled. You know, they don't know why. It's funny. They weren't baffled before. They knew exactly what we should do. now they're suddenly very baffled. they don't know what's going on. Why? I read today that New Zealand, the death rate in New Zealand is over 3,000% higher than it was in 2020. I mean, that's been... It's going through the roof. And England also, in the United States, I mean, everywhere. I mean, the death rate, the mortality rate is among younger people is way higher than it should ever be. But the mainstream media is not going to cover any of that. So unfortunately...
Can I say something?
Sure.
This is Anne. A couple things. One is that just tonight I was listening to a testimony brought to me by the Canadian doctor, Dr. Trozzi, T-R-O-Z-I.
Yes,
and he has a couple different, there's a National Citizens Organization taking testimony from embalmers.
Yes.
And it was just quite compelling. I mean, I could send this to you, Will, if you want to just...
Yeah. No, that would be good. I mean, I'm quite honestly, I feel like I'm drinking from a fire hose. I mean, it's been like that the whole time.
Of course.
There's so much. Incredible amount of information coming out, and Dr. Trozzi is a great source. I think he's fantastic, and the embalmers, they're trying to ring the warning bells, like don't ever take these. I mean, but they're still giving them out. I mean, they're still, like, we were in Santa Fe at the farmers market, and they had this whole booth giving people vaccines. You can have your vaccine, right? They're still like trying to give them to people everywhere.
Yeah.
The COVID vaccine. This was just a couple of weeks ago.
Well, there's something that you shared in this list of things shared for tonight, and that is that, and that I've read it also elsewhere, is that the fact that they're injecting so-called food animals with the mRNA, vaccine, which of course they've probably been doing for a long time, and then so what is the effect on people who eat animals? I don't know if it's different being injected versus taking it in through an animal that a person is eating. But then the fact that was even more disturbing for me to listen to is that the fact that they found a way to put vaccines in vegetables.
Right. Yeah, no, I exactly. That's the thing. I mean, it's kind of interesting because so-called swine producers apparently for over a year have been injecting pigs with mRNA vaccine, COVID vaccine, basically.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, all these people eating bacon and sausages, they're furious. They didn't realize for the past year they're eating animal flesh that has been genetically engineered, genetically altered by recombinant RNA vaccines. They're eating it. We don't know. It's like we don't know what that's doing, but I'm sure it's never happened on planet Earth before that people have been eating this stuff. So how is it not going to affect us? And now they're pushing for the same thing to be done to cows, not only cows meat, but also their milk. And so I have a friend, not a friend, but sort of an acquaintance who's a real health freedom guy, but he's very anti-vegan. And he just posted the thing saying, well, he said, I'm going vegan now. I can't eat any animal foods. I don't want to get vaccinated. You know, so So this is one way to might get everybody to go vegan. But of course, then you have what you're saying is, okay, now, but the cabal, whoever it is that's behind all this, they're not just stopping with animal food. They want to get the vegans too with tomatoes. I read it was like tomatoes, a few different things they thought they
could. Bananas, lettuces, greens.
Greens, I think, yeah. So now it's what I've been saying. We got to grow our own food, or you got to know the farmers market. You got to know the people where you're getting it.
Yes.
Organic. I mean, I would hope that the organic standards, right, would say something about this. That's something we should.
The organic people can use injections. There's no restriction on injections.
So we have to change that. I mean, that should be changed. That should be a conversation. So that's interesting. That's something that I'm a little surprised to hear. But so that there's nothing about injecting.
Well, I've learned that either from what you shared or something else I saw. And so I guess I would say look into it further.
Right.
But I don't think there's any guidelines with the farmers who are so-called organic in relation to what they inject.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this is the effort. You know, so a lot of people go like, well, what's going on here? Why is there a war against us? Why are they injecting toxic things into the vegetables and into the animals? And why do they want to kill everybody? You know, what's going on? And that's a good question. You know, it's one of those things that is a little bit hard to comprehend, and that takes us down a whole nother road. But I think, again, if you look at cows and pigs and chickens who maybe seem to be well taken care of, and then all of a sudden they go, what the heck, why are they trying to kill us? You know, I thought the shepherd liked us. He was, you know, I got stuck in a rock and he came and helped me, and you know what, why has he now got a knife to my throat? What's going on here? So, you know, I think there are human beings or beings posing as human beings who really somehow on that level see us as livestock. And that is happening, but I think it's our own fault. We shouldn't be allowing ourselves. We shouldn't, as a society, be turning animals into livestock the way we're doing. Because once we do that, we open the door for that to happen to us. And I remember years ago, probably 30, 40 years ago, when I first started studying metaphysical teachings in depth. I read about Atlantis. You know, Atlantis, it was always kind of interesting to me, and it was this very highly evolved civilization. Plato wrote about it, and it was a civilization that basically died or was destroyed under a great flood. And what they say, what Plato wrote about it, and what people, the little bit of research I guess that people have been able to get, is that the main reason for their demise was that they started genetically engineering themselves and breeding themselves with animals and so forth. And it seems to me that it's the same thing again. You know, this transhumanist agenda. That's basically it. It's a this idea of transhumanism, which is what we do to livestock. We're trying to breed livestock that won't feel pain, try to breed livestock that are fatter, that will just sit there and not turn around, and all these different, you know, try to make them different than what they are. And this idea of transhumanism, which also goes right into transgenderism, right? They're both the same thing. I mean, the transgender thing is just part of the transhumanist agenda of enslaving humanity. It's all about enslaving humanity the way we do, you know, livestock, by a small elite cabal. And I think, you know, it's good to be aware. It's good to just have street smarts about this, but I don't think we should be afraid. Because I think the thing to understand on a deeper level is that, again, I keep saying this over and over again, we're born on this earth for a few short decades. So we're not going to be here forever. So while we're here, it's a school. We're here to wake up to what we are, our true nature, and to help each other to do that, to help. And the thing is, I think everybody that comes here, they come from different pathways, and they have different agendas. And we don't know what they are. You know, nobody knows what another being, what their thing is. They're, you know, they've always talked about people who are old souls. You know, that idea that they've been, you know, they've come back many times and now they understand what's going on here. And there's sort of so-called younger souls, people who come here and it takes them a while to figure it out. And we try to help everybody, obviously. But there are others maybe who tried to do Atlantis and it didn't work and they want to try it again. I mean, there's a lot of information about the fact that there are, unfortunately, there are these Luciferian and satanic cults and groups that really feel that they want to dominate nature and animals and humanity. And they want to get what they want. They want to have power and money, and they're going for it. Because if they don't, they'll get caught and they'll get executed, right? I mean, it's a certain thing. What they're doing is so horrible. So I think, you know, it's not to make any fear. We just have to be clear-eyed and see what's happening. Because if we're not, it's really disastrous. I think people just, nothing's disastrous in the big picture. I mean, we die and then we're, hopefully at that point we can start to connect again with our true nature and then have another incarnation. But it's important really to get beyond this idea of this is just this one life and see the bigger picture of what we are as infinite and eternal consciousness, and we're here on this earth. And if anyone else has a perspective on this, you know, feel free to share it. But I think
Will? I
just want to say we have a situation where we're obviously being lied to and deceived by the media and the governments and the medical establishment, and people are dying on unprecedented numbers, and they're not talking about it. They won't admit it, and people are having heart attacks, in their 30s and 40s. This has never happened. I mean, and the whole idea is that if you can spread poisons into the food and the water and the air and the medications, and you can kill off people. It's a lot easier to run a world if there's only, you know, a few hundred thousand people rather than 8 billion. So calling the herd it's been done for thousands of years, and it's to the advantage of to the herd and to the shepherds themselves. It's to everybody's benefit to just get rid of the people. And that's, I think, and that's what we keep hearing, right? We keep hearing this thing of overpopulation. There's too many people.
Will,
that's not true. So,
okay,
go ahead.
Can you hear okay?
Pardon me?
I'm sorry, it's Andy. For some reason on this thing, I don't see a thing to push to raise my hand. So,
if you want to know.
I hope that's okay.
So, yeah, go ahead. I was just going to say, if you go to reaction.
In the past, I've used it, but.
It's under reactions, if you have
that. Okay, things have changed then. Oh, got it, thank you. Okay, so with this, the screen, whatever, it changes. So I wanted to say, the reason people are not getting the truth is because they're only watching TV media. And I have to tell you, in these 3 years, I am out in the public every single day, going to grocery stores, going to gyms, going to parks, everywhere, doing the van life. And I no longer have a sunscreen on my windshield of my van, and I don't know if I'll be able to show it looking backwards, but can anyone see?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've got one big, huge sign that says go vegan, and that usually people can see. I don't know if you can see that there from a distance. And thou shalt not kill, you know, a phrase people are familiar with. And then the other side is all freedom message, so that people can sit there and read. And then in addition to that, so many people stop to read my van. And half the time I'm sitting in the van, but it's got resources right there. It's got BitChute, it's got Rumble, it's got some doctors, so anybody could take a picture. But mostly what happens is I'm there so many times I'm sitting in my car and I have these flyers. So I'm going to see if I can, oh God, the sun is weird here also. Wait a second, I'm going to go on here. So, with fears that, you know, it's got your non-censored media here, and all of that, a whole ton of resources people can look up. And then on the back, it also has all of these resources. You, of course, are listed on there. And so when I see people reading my windshield, I open my door and I go, hey, so what do you think? You know, really friendly. And, you know, they'll tell me they either like the vegan side or the freedom side, and we'll have a conversation about both. But I have reached so many people from both having the flyers with the resources, because when we're just talking to someone, they have to try to remember what we said, and we have to try to remember what exactly to say to them, you know, who we want to tell them about, and are they going to remember. But having these flyers, right away I point out the non-censored media. They can go to Rumble or BitChute or something like that. And then I point out wherever our conversation is. And I wish everybody, if everybody did this, they could reach their own area, their own neighborhoods. And obviously I don't have anything really sarcastic or insulting or anything like that on these. And I approach them very, very lovingly and accepting of wherever they're at. And so many people, I think, could be reached if more people did a whole, you know, and these are just posters I put in. They're very simple. They replace my sunscreens. And now the great thing is so many people have come up and they've loved the vegan side. You know, that's the big sign that they see from a distance. I'm like, oh, I love that sign. And some people who are not even vegan, they love the sign saying they want to be, you know, or they wish they could, and that's when I give them my card with info. But I wish everybody could try this, because then this is how we reach the public who is only watching mainstream media. And so many times people thank me. They're like, wow, this is amazing. I didn't know about this. Because great. That's all they know is their television. So, I mean, if anybody wants to reach me or ask about the flyers, or I don't know if there's any way I can send them to them, they could copy them. But, I mean, it's got a financial whistleblower. Sometimes even if people don't agree on health issues, everybody cares about their money and how the government is stealing their money. So I've got Catherine Austin Fitz on there. Anyway, so if anybody wants anything, if there's any way they could contact me, I'm happy to send them flyers. And so I just wanted to point that out, because I think we do, you know, you and all of us know the news because we know where to get it. But so many people just, they don't have a clue. They know their TV or their Facebook. And anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. And thank you so much, as always, for everything that you guys are doing, you and Madeline.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Andy. Yeah, maybe if you can on the chat, give your, however you like, if you want to give your email address, or you can send it to me and I could send a link, if you, or send, send it, I could put it on when I send out my email. Not everybody gets it, but, yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's like guerrilla liberating marketing or something.
It's like directly in something just happened. There we go.
Yeah.
So it's directly in person instead of, you know, just being everywhere every day. When you put this up, wherever people drive, if they're going to the grocery store, wherever they're going, and once they park, obviously not while you're driving, it's when you're parked.
Exactly.
But anyway.
No, thanks for doing that. I think it's great. You're planting seeds, you know, and you could really help some people. And then they find out, then they can tell somebody, some of their friends, you know. It's just, it's like lighting a candle. We've been doing this, you know, for veganism. Now we need to do it for health freedom also, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyone else have any comments or questions about anything? There's been so much that's been happening over the last couple of weeks, last month, really. Since we last met, and we have all kinds of things are moving forward. I mean, I think there is more awareness of the importance of veganism happening. There, but to me, quite honestly, from the research I'm doing, I'm realizing that the vegan movement is getting hammered because a lot of vegans are using climate change, for example, as a reason we should go vegan. And that's now becoming really exposed to being a complete scam. There's no climate change. It's just a anthropogenic climate change or something like that. And so if we keep doing this, it makes the whole movement look like it's part of the globalist agenda. A lot of vegans saying everybody has to get vaccinated to be safe, and everybody has to support the trans movement in order to be kind and loving, and everybody has to support the climate change. We have weather warfare, I think, with the chemtrails and these ionospheric heaters and so forth that are really causing a lot of weird weather, but that's technology that the military has developed over the last 40 years that they're just using. So it's really deceiving people, this deception, this massive deception, posing as, we're your benefactors, we care about you, we want you to be healthy, we want you to have a good climate, so now you're not allowed to drive more than 15 minutes from your house. I mean, that's really what animal agriculture is, basically, is it's confining animals physically, right? That's what you do. You don't let them move. You're stuck right there. Well, I mean, why are we allowing the authorities to make us not able to move, right? I mean, that is slavery. I mean, slavery, a prison is where you can't go anywhere. And, I mean, we're letting them completely brainwash us, and the vegans are leading the charge in many ways. They're saying, oh, yeah, go vegan for the climate. I mean, there's no, that whole thing is a total farce. Bill Gates, back in 2006 or whenever it was, he came out with An Inconvenient Truth, and he had this whole list of 12 things that were going to happen by 2015. None of them happened. He said he said Glacier National Park would have no glaciers, and the Arctic would be ice-free, and Miami would be flooded, and I mean, all this, nothing happened. And then they changed it from global warming to global climate change, but they're just pushing ahead on that so hard. You can be absolutely sure if mainstream media and all the governmental agencies are pushing something, it's a big lie. And, like this whole thing with the transgenderism, I mean, that was not a grassroots movement. That came down from the top. That came with huge money behind it and just rolled out. And we had, everybody, and now kids are getting just attacked, horribly and mutilated, and just like we do to animals. We sexually mutilate animals. That's what we do, and we're doing it to children just the same way. The little baby animals are sexually mutilated. We do the same thing. So, I mean, really, it's these are the kinds of things that we have to understand. And now they're actually, the Fed has just released this thing called FedNow, which is a digital currency, a federal bank digital currency. I mean, once they have that in place, right? I mean, then it's in a way, that's according to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and most of these people, that's game over, because then you can't spend, you have no money. Except they can tell you you can't spend, it's digital, so they can say you can't spend it more than 15 miles from your house. Anything can happen. So these things are, the whole thing is being put into place, right? So we should just be aware of that. And then take appropriate action. And I think talking about it, sharing ideas, and resisting, and not never complying with anything. Just, I mean, that's the most important thing. Don't comply with anything at all when it comes to taking away our freedom. And that's something I think that we can do and support people. I think it's great to see Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is running for president. I mean, whether or not he has any chance of winning, I mean, I think he's enormously courageous considering what happened to his own father when he tried to run for president, and his own uncle when he was president. But still, he's someone who's renowned for speaking up against corporations taking over and capturing the government. And just to have him on some of these debates, I think, would maybe help to wake people up. So I'm glad to see that, actually. I mean, I'm delighted. It's an amazing thing, really, really fantastic thing. But some people say it doesn't matter. We don't have any elections integrity at all anyway. But still, anything we can do to help raise awareness, I think that's the most important thing, and help people understand that our life is precious and our rights are precious, and to protect our rights so that we can protect others. Susan from Hawaii, Daytree. Go ahead if you want to unmute there.
Yeah, I did. Hi, everybody. Thanks, Will. I was going to ask about RFK. So I'm glad to hear you just said it. And, you know, that you're excited about it too, and just how crazy it is and how scary it is seeing this. And father got killed and his uncle got killed. I don't know how he gets the bravery to do it. But anyway, I am blown away by what you're saying about the transgender stuff. I'm gonna send an email to Anne, because I was wondering about all this transgender stuff, and now you're opening my eyes to that coming down from the top. Oh my God. Just the other thing is, Will, you know, appreciate what you said during the meditation about how even people that are dead, I mean, a lot of people may be tuned into this, but I forget, even people that are dead, like authors or musicians or relatives that you feel are important, but, you know, if I own it more, then they can be powerful for me. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Absolutely. Great. Well, thanks, Susan. Always good to see you, and thanks for saying that. Yeah, I think that's an important point, you know, the people who have gone before us, even if they're still not physically on this planet, not only their writings and their music and their art and their influence on people through their conversations and through their presence, but I think there's a field of awareness that they can contribute to. And they can be blessing us. You know, most traditional cultures really understood that. They talked about that, the power of the ancestors, and the ancestors would help us in our challenging time. And we can, I think, give thanks for our ancestors. They can, some of them, I think, had a lot of wisdom, and we can tap into that ourselves. I think that's really important, you know, actually, everything in general, but especially finding things that work for us to connect with our inner wisdom during these times. And these are amazing times, you know. I mean, to think that we were born right at this point where this sort of Atlantean transformation is being unleashed on our civilization. And we're vegans, and we're also on a spiritual path. And so we can see maybe more clearly. We're not hypnotized by the mainstream media as much. And so we can hopefully contribute to the awakening of humanity so that we avoid this. I mean, really, I mean, I think it would be just a lot of suffering. You know, it's a lot of suffering. I mean, suffering has a beginning and suffering has an end, right? I mean, so it's not eternal, but it's suffering. That's the thing. And the whole idea is to try to reduce suffering. And really, the suffering ultimately comes from not understanding, from ignorance, and our way of life, our whole society is right now so immersed in the deceptions. Putin calls it an empire of lies, and I think he's right. It really is an empire of lies. Everything that's coming out is a deception. So we don't need to eat animals to be healthy. We don't need to have toxic drugs to be healthy. We don't need to lock everybody down to have a healthy climate. We do need to stop animal agriculture to have a healthy ecosystem. And that's really important, I think. Animal agriculture is really the key driver behind rainforest destruction and ocean destruction and soil erosion and all this stuff. We should be focusing on that for sure. That's what we should be focusing on, not on climate change, which is something that's, who knows? I mean, there's literally tens of thousands of scientists now who are standing up and saying there's no climate change. There never was. The IPCC is just blatantly manipulating data. It's never happened. They've been just censored. You know, it's been really, the censorship is incredible. So so the more we can just understand what's happening and how we're being lied to, and then use our intuition. You know, that's the key. Like, no one can really find the truth for somebody else. You know, nobody can help me see the truth. They can maybe shine a light and tell me their example, but ultimately I'm the one responsible for my consciousness and for how I live my life and for what I see as true and real. And that really, I think, takes us cultivating really two things. One is intuition, this inner wisdom, but the other is what in Buddhism is referred to as discriminatory awareness. We have to be able to discriminate between the false and the real. And they use that story. It's more of a Hindu story, but the story of the snake and the rope. You know, the one that I think that's a really important story. The story is that a person's coming home at night and they see this snake and they're terrified. You know, my gosh, you know, and they jump and their whole body is quivering. But then as they look a little more carefully, they realize it's actually just a coil of rope. And so they relax and say, oh, it was just a rope. And so that's the key point, is that we have to be able to discriminate between a snake and a rope. And if, as long as we think that it's a snake, we're going to be terrified, you know? And so that's what they did. And anyways, they rolled out this so-called pandemic and told everybody, there's a snake. Oh, it's terrible. It's going to kill you. It's terrible. Be very afraid. And a lot of people really believed and thought, oh, yeah, it's a snake. It's terrible. Oh, no. And then some people said, wait a minute, it's just a rope. You don't have to worry about it. But then the problem is, you've got all these snakes, like the FDA and the CDC and all these, and people think they're ropes. They think they're something good. They come and they say, you know, and the USDA and their local doctor, and we trust them, and we don't realize, we think that that's a nice, friendly rope. Actually, no, that rope is actually a snake. You better stay away, be careful, you know, and so we have to be able to really discriminate between the rope and the snake, and that's something that I think it takes two things. It takes, you know, intuition, being able to look beyond the surface, and then it takes this discriminating awareness, which is part of it is rationality, like really making the, like, who's benefiting from this? Like, who, what's, you know, following the money? Follow the money. I mean, how much money is being made on the transgender ideology? We're talking about billions and billions of dollars for the big pharma and the big medical industrial complex. I mean, it's just booming. They're pushing this thing so hard. Everybody better get out of the way, because these people, you know, started out just like in 2014 with a few people with fetishes, the cross-dressers that wanted to, men that wanted to be like women. And suddenly they like took over, like everybody's got to do that. You've got to open up your restrooms. You've got to open up the prisons. They have these men going in, now being incarcerated, convicted rapists being incarcerated with women in prisons, right? I mean, because, and you know, in Washington State is like the worst state in the union, it seems like, for this stuff. So we have to understand that, you know, this is obvious. And to me, it's so obvious, but it's amazing how, like, one of the things, I posted a post that I thought that women should be allowed to compete in their sports without having men, biological men, coming in and, like, beating them, saying that we're women. And I posted that on Facebook, and this woman, the people that are the organizers of the San Francisco Veg Fest saw that I posted that, and they banned me from the Veg Fest. They said, you're spreading hate speech. I'm just trying to protect women. No, I'm spreading hate speech, because the whole, you know, San Francisco, I mean, it's like taken over. I don't think you can have a rational discussion in San Francisco about this. But that's what's happened. You know, it's just the vegan movement has become infiltrated, in a sense, by this woke ideology and these lies and deceptions, and it's harming the movement, really. It's dividing it, and it's making the whole movement, which, you see, the vegan movement at its core is a movement of liberation. It's a movement of freedom, of health, of decentralization, of self-reliance. I mean, it's of spirituality and justice and equality. I mean, it's really the essence of the most positive thing that there could ever be, right? It's nonviolence and respect and kindness for other living beings. So that movement is the key to everything. But there are powerful forces that really want to make the vegan movement divided and weak and easy to be criticized. So they come out with all these fake meats. And so now people that are really interested in health, they go, oh, veganism's terrible. You've got all this, Bill Gates is funding all these startups with all this GMO food, they call it plant-based, and being a vegan means you're being sick, you're eating GMO foods, you're unhealthy, you believe in climate change, you believe in all these things, you're trying to lock down the kids, trying to lock everybody down. oh my gosh, I mean, what a tragedy. I mean, that's not at all what veganism is about. Veganism is, I think, should be ahimsa and liberation, the sovereignty of all living beings and questioning the official narratives in our society, right? That's the whole core. I mean, we live in a herding culture. The core narrative is domination of the weak by the strong. So we're questioning that. And that's the key thing. But it's easy for people, if they're not doing the spiritual homework, unfortunately, to let, they don't have a good discriminatory awareness to be able to actually navigate this. And it's heavy duty. This is like fifth generational information warfare. I mean, it's very, very sophisticated, deceptive techniques that have been honed for decades by the military, by the CIA, and by the Pentagon, and they've rolled it out. And very sophisticated, very powerful deception. So it's, in a way, it's not our fault, but because they're playing for keeps. It's a major deception. But I think we have, on the other hand, it's not that hard to figure it out, really. I mean, it's pretty obvious that the mainstream media is lying to us constantly. So I think, and the doctors, all of this, I mean, but like Andy said, if people are relying for news on the mainstream media and mainstream doctors and nurses, it's easy to be, I guess, to be deceived. But remember what I think it was, who was it? One of the great philosophers. I'll think of his name in a second. He said, Machiavelli. You know Machiavelli, right? Machiavelli in Italy. He said, as long as there are people who want to deceive, there'll always be people who are willing to be deceived. You know, that's the thing. So we need to not blame the deceivers. I mean, you know, we really need to blame ourselves. We shouldn't let ourselves be deceived like that. I mean, it's ridiculous. If someone walked up to me and said, "Hey, man, you know, you've got a third arm growing out of your back," and like, "Oh, really?" You know, I'm going to believe that. You know, I shouldn't blame him. I should blame myself if I go believe that ridiculous thing. That's what we're doing. We're believing absurdities. I mean, just absolute absurdities. And it's our own fault, really. It's wearing a mask. I mean, wearing a mask for what? And never in the history of the world have healthy people had to wear a mask. You know, because we're not spreading anything. I mean, what a stupid idea. But people did it just because the authorities said to do it. So, anyway, it's really important, I think, for us to get back to our original wisdom again and not ever go along with authorities, what they're telling us to do. You know, it's a slavery agenda, and they'll do it. If we don't resist, it'll happen. That's the thing. If we do not resist, it'll definitely all happen. I mean, we will be enslaved if we don't resist. Our children, I mean, and that's the thing that I think, you know, behind everything, you know, ultimately we can never be enslaved. We are infinite, eternal spirit and consciousness. But for this experience on earth to be able to be creative and to commune with nature, it's taking us away from nature, right? I mean, telling us that if you're born a male, you can be a female, or, you know, I mean, it's a complete attack on the natural beauty and power and dignity and intelligence of what we are as manifestations of this beautiful earth. So, anyway, anyone?
The word satanic is kind of creepy. I always wondered, well, does it really exist, or who knows? But as I understand, Satanism is what you just described, Will. It's just like the complete opposite of beauty, intelligence, nature, all the natural laws. It's like turning it into the reverse.
Right.
And truth is lies, lies are truth, you know, and I could go on, but yeah, I think that's the essence of what that is. And if you don't want to use the word satanic, I think it's being a psychopath.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. I was listening to a recording of a guy who was actually in a satanic cult for many years, and he's now gotten out of it, and he's talking about it, you know, what they believe. And he said there's like three or four main beliefs. One, the main belief is that I can do what I want to get what I want. You know, that's the basic thing. I guess you'd call it egotism. Like, it's okay for me to do whatever it takes to get what I want because I'm a divine being. I guess, you know, I'm a being who deserves to get what I want. So that's the underlying thing. And then another one is the basic idea of natural selection. You know, like sort of the Darwinian, that sort of social Darwinism, that it's okay for the strong to dominate the weak. You know, that's how it is. How it is.
You know,
that's a fundamental satanic thing. And then just being, you know, being able to manipulate any situation, essentially, and including nature. I mean, I think that's a lot of it. So I never went, but I had a good friend who went to the Satanic Church in San Francisco one, just on a Sunday morning. She said, I just want to see what they talk about in there. And she went and she said, yeah, actually, they were nice people, and they basically just said, we should just all live our lives to get what we want to get, you know. It doesn't sound bad, right? But when it actually plays out, it's like you do whatever you want to do to get what you want to get. You know, it could be, that can go in any direction. And in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, or the Buddhist tradition in general, there's a saying, I actually have the quote, I think, in my new book, which is that suffering is trying to get what I want. Joy and freedom is trying to help others have what they want. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. When we try to help others be happy, be free, and to really live their lives freely and not be so concerned about only ourselves, then we step into an attitude of giving and of kindness, and where we're not just focusing on ourselves ultimately is hell. And that's the thing. These people, whatever misery they're causing, I mean, the karma is unbelievable. And the suffering, you cannot escape suffering. The self-centered mind is based on an illusion. There is no separate self. And so as long as that separate self is clinging to this conviction that I'm separate, I'm going to get what I want and live that, and I'm just going to make it happen and use power and money and whatever I can to do it, the suffering and the misery that keeps increasing, actually, and it becomes an addiction, unfortunately. And they start, unfortunately, destroying whole societies and whole natural ecosystems and everything. It's all based on a perversion, it's just misunderstanding. So, and they're trying to get us into the same game. Like, they're wearing a mask. That's the thing. I mean, this whole thing is about masking. That's the key. They're pretending to be something that they're not. They're pretending to be benevolent and kind and caring. And you don't want to look behind the mask. So if they can get us to wear a mask, they've got us. And that's why I from the very beginning, I said, don't ever wear a mask. Don't do it. Don't. You know, because it's a symbolic of something. It blocks the spirit, and it blocks our ability to smile and connect and create and speak. And it's just, it really is satanic. And they were able to roll that out to children, little kids, you know, little beautiful little kids who don't know any better. They're told they have to wear a mask if they're going to make other people sick. They're healthy little kids. They have to wear a mask because they're going to make other people sick. I mean, you talk about a purely satanic, you can't get more evil than that. And if that was rolled out by people behind the mask saying, we care about you, we love you, we want you to be safe, we want you to be secure. That's what they do with animals, right? When they want to get them into the gate to go have their life ended, they're manipulating them to go in the gate. You know, we have to understand that this whole thing is being run by a cabal of extremely wealthy, and wealth translates directly into narrative control. That's what it does. Wealth translates into narrative control. You can control the narrative in people's minds, they'll do whatever you want them to do. And so don't let it happen. We have to really guard our consciousness and don't let the narrative, any of it, in, because it's all the overpopulation, the climate change, the fear, virtually everything in the mainstream media is a narrative designed to enslave humanity, and we really have to understand that. So, thank you, Anne. I think you're right, and this is nothing new. This has been going on, I'm sure, for thousands of years, and it's just now the technology is in place where mass surveillance of everyone is possible, and that changes everything. So we need to be savvy here and understand that, because for the first time they have the technology to do that, and CBDC and all this stuff, facial recognition cameras and social credit systems and all those things. It's called the green movement. And they call it the green movement. They call it the Agenda 2030. It's the United Nations, the good old United Nations. Oh, we love them. I mean, that's the worst thing. They're behind all of this. So they're being used. I mean, they're just being used. So governments are being used. It's all being used. The World Health Organization, of course. Anyway, I don't have to go into all that. You all know all that already. But it's good to be aware and always, keep our vibration high. You know, notice the beauty. And like Andy, I think it's really good, just doing something to help raise awareness. Do something. Do something, right? I mean, whatever it is. You know, you can talk to people. You can smile and just don't comply. And if people don't comply, they can't do anything, because there's billions of us and only a few hundred of them, really. So we shouldn't let that happen. All right, so it's time to stop. Madeline's here. Madeline. She's been working hard in the garden. You should see, she came in today with this gigantic bushel of greens. And she couldn't even fit it into the Vitamix blender. It was so big. Somehow she got it in there. We have these great green smoothies. Half of it is wild. You know, this miner's lettuce that just grows here wild. And half of it is celery and kale and chard and stuff that comes in. It's all here. We were gone for 4 months. We came back and they're all waving at us saying, welcome home. You're here. We're here. Yeah, you know? It's really great. Yeah. So all our trees are blossoming, and it's really beautiful to see all the bees working hard. They're all working, pollinating everything, and the birds are out, and it's, nature is beautiful. The more we can grow food and spread this message of love and compassion and remember to practice discriminating awareness. Don't believe what the authorities say and don't comply with the authorities. As vegans, that's our heritage. That's our tradition. We never complied. We never would comply with violence, with oppression, with stealing the sovereignty of individual beings. And that's more important than ever. Don't let veganism be hijacked by the globalists. That's what they're really trying to do. So we love you. Let's go ahead and say our prayer together. Please unmute yourselves if you'd like. And we can say our circle of compassion prayer. We say it every day at noon. Judy's here. Hi, Judy. Good to see you.
Well, Judy's hi, everybody. Hi, Madeline.
Great.
Michael's here, too.
Oh, good. Hi, Michael. Yeah, it's great to see all of you, really. Kenny and Joy Grace and Marcia.
Christina.
Yeah, Marina, Tams. Davi's here from England. That's so great. Kathy. I know. Margie. Hi, Margie. Yeah, it's great. So much love to all of you guys. We really appreciate your presence. Okay, let's go ahead and we can say it together. Here we go. Compassion,
circle, all beings, everywhere.
Again?
Compassion, circle, all beings, everywhere.
One more time with feeling.
Compassion circles the earth for all beings
everywhere. All right, everyone. We love you. We'll see you on the first
of May. Love you guys. Love everyone.
And go forth and multiply the message. All right. Take care. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.